Good to see you ladies here today. Not the best day we could have had, but it's the day we're on the right side of the dirt, so it's a good day. You can be seated. We want to say thank you for your efforts, and glad to have our visitors here from Durant also. I won't take but just a few minutes here, but I wanted to, I asked Sister Flanagan if I could introduce the speaker today. So who'd ever thought
30 years ago that I would be doing this. But God's good.
And the Eggenberg family has left some definite fingerprints on Sister Flanagan and I. And through the years, they've become our best friends on this earth. And that's not spoken lightly, but we do appreciate them. And Sister Roberta is going to be speaking to you. And, you know, it's kind of hard to say too much because she's one of those kind of ladies that don't talk all the time. But anytime she's ever spoken, she certainly had something to say to me. And I appreciate her walk with God. She's just like the Lord. She's the same yesterday and today and forever. But I watched Sister Eggenberg through the seasons that life has brought her and the times that she's had to endure things that I have never had to endure. And yet she had the Holy Spirit always there, and it was the main part of her. So I want to encourage you today, as you're sitting here, that I promise you the words that are coming from her lips will be sanctioned by prayer. I guarantee you she's prayed about this, thought about it, and did her very best to hear from God. So if you're here today, you're in for a treat, and we want her to just come take her liberty, and she may want to sing a couple of songs and dance a little bit, I don't know, but we want her just to come on right now, Sister Eggenberg.
John doesn't allow me to sing. I don't hear well enough anymore. In fact, at home he has my microphone down. And the screen on it is thick, a thicker one than what I did have on it. And I think there's a reason for that. But anyway, thank you for the opportunity. I would like to say that life consists of past, present, and future. There are lessons in life. Learning from and understanding past experiences equips us and helps us deal with the present and prepares us for the future. We don't live in the present, or we don't dwell on the present, but some people are defined, we don't live in the past or dwell in the past, but some people are defined by the past because they resist change. And if we progress, it involves change. So if we proceed or progress from the point that we are, it requires change. This year, February the 12th, marked 75 years of life for me. 54 of those years spent with the Lord. And so today I would like to just talk about the journey. The journey. We all have a story to tell. The what, who, what, when, where, why of life. And the how. How did we get here? Why did this happen? Our story involves different times, different places, different people in different circumstances, and even a different outcome. Because as individuals, we are different. But August 2004, inside the cover of my Bible, I jotted these words. As individuals, we are complex and different. But as humanity, we are common and ordinary. We share in likeness and we share in difference. Woven in the tapestry and the fabric of every life is a common thread. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, there is no temptation taken you such as is common unto man, that belongs to man, human being. And he will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able. God is faithful, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Ecclesiastes said there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been of old times. Times that was before me, times that was before you. So to understand the story, we have to start at the beginning. Genesis is a book of beginnings, a book of origins. The starting point, the source from which a person or thing has its very beginning. Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning God. Genesis 1 and 3 says, and God said, let there be light. Illumination. Light is essential to life. Light is essential to our ability to see, to understand, requires light. So the book of Genesis is a book of insight, a book of understanding. We understand and can see the creative order of God, the original plan and purpose of God, and the origin of men, our man before and after sin. We see the nature of God, his goodness and his severity. His goodness toward man, but his severity to sin. Because sin threatens our well-being. Sin threatens our well-being. Genesis 5 and 1 says, this is the generation, the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. In the day they were created. I think it's interesting that in the day they were created before sin, they were called by God Adam. It was Adam after sin that called his wife's name Eve. But in the beginning, when God saw man and woman, female and male, husband and wife, that was the distinction. They were male, they were female, they were husband, they were wife, they were man, and they were woman. God saw them as one. We see through this and by this the principle of unity and oneness, the power of being one. Scripture says man was first formed, created by God from dust. Man is the glory of God. Then he made woman. God created woman, taken from the side of man was a rib. And from that rib, God made woman. Woman is the glory of man. And Scripture says, the Lord God brought her unto man. Adam said, she was taken out of man, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man, and they shall be one flesh. God is a God of order. God is a God of unity and oneness. Psalms 133, 1 through 3 says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Brethren, in the sense of, in the widest sense of relationship, can mean kindred. It can mean any number of things. But how good and how pleasant it is that kindred dwell together in unity. And Scripture says it is there that God commanded the blessing, even life evermore. So man, made of God, before sin was blessed. He was given dominion, told to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. By design, man was not made for sin, but he was made for God. He was not designed to hold up under the effects of sin. But Scripture says in Romans 12 through 16, by one man's sin, or by one man's offense, sin entered, and death by sin. And sin was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. In life, there are many paths that we can take. Everything is not sin, but Scripture says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And any path or direction we take in this life, we need to remember sin and death are partners. Sin ushered in the hardships, the struggles, the problems, all the social and domestic ills that we face today. All the pain, the grief, the sorrow, the suffering, the labor, the toil that surrounds the family, the home, the children, has its beginning, root, and origin in one man's sin of yesterday, the past. God asked woman this question. Woman, what hast thou done? Woman, Isha, because she was taken out of man. Female, Thela, from a root, meaning the nipple. The one that nurses a child, wife, mother, the bond of the family, the keeper of the home, the incubator of life, the one that was to rule and guide the family, Eve, life giver, Kava, what hast thou done? In Genesis, we see the distinction between man and woman after sin. The only distinction before sin was one was man, one was male and husband. The other, woman, female, wife. But God called them Adam. The distinction after man, male, husband, lover, father, added to that role was the responsibility of being protector, provider, savior of the body. Ephesians says the husband is the savior of the body. The ground he was taken from was cursed. And from the very source from which he was taken became the source of sorrow, pain, labor, and toil of making a living and providing. You were taken from the ground, from dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Unto the woman that was taken out of man, it said, thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Have power and authority over. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow shall you bring forth children. When it comes to the desire being to the husband, I can and you can understand the vulnerability of that statement. And it's from this source here. It is the birthing point of all the gender struggles, the gender issues, and the power struggles that we have today. Sorrow and bearing and having children. I'd like to say that having the child is the easiest part of it. It's getting them through life that is the hard part. There are differences after sin, more than just anatomy and gender. We differ emotionally. The way we think, the way we feel, the way we process things. we act and react differently. The precious of life on a woman is different than the pressures of life and the responsibility on a man. The man's pressures come as from the source of making a living. The woman's pressure and difficulty comes through the home, the family, and the children. And it's important that we understand the differences and the distinctions after sin, because relationships are built upon communication. And if we do not understand the differences, the pressures, the responsibilities, then there is and can be a breakdown in communication. A breakdown in communication in a relationship leads to complications, if not failure. We are in a time that we need to begin talking. But communicating is more than just talking. It's listening. Understanding. So I can say, sin was and is an assault on the design and plan of God. The unity and the order of God. It is an assault on the family. There is no achievement or accomplishment more challenging or of greater value or importance than the family. So I say to a group of women, achieve. Climb the ladder, but not at the expense of family. We have a mindset today that are two extremes. The liberal woman and the oppressed woman. I would like to say that subjection to the order of God is not oppression. If we want to blame something or someone for the problems, the pain and the sorrow that we have today, let us not blame one another, but let us blame sin, because it has its root and its origin and sin. Lynn, life often leaves us bruised and wounded, and in some ways we are a casualty and a victim of sin and its effects. No fault of our own. And then sometimes we can actually be our own greatest enemy. Job 5:7 says, Man is born unto trouble. It points back to the conditions of life after sin. The trouble, the toil, the wearing effort, the worry, mind, body, the pain and the sorrow. Job 14:1 says, man that is born of woman is a few days. That references our journey, the length, the span, and full of trouble. This trouble here is different. It deals with the emotional part of us, part inside us. It is trouble, a commotion, a noise, something that disquiets us or interrupts our peace, our quiet, our security, is threatened. It comes from a primary root to quiver with any violent emotion, especially anger and fear. This trouble means to move. It means to quake. It means to shake. It means to tremble. Trouble. And I would like to say this morning that if your world can be moved, if it can be shaken, it will be. It will be. See, I'm no stranger to pain, sorrow, and suffering. When I revisit the broken places of life, it is there that He is nearest. The Lord was asked the question, "Where dwellest thou?" The simple response was, "Come see." The master teacher was teaching them, "Come, experience for yourself the lessons of life." There's a very familiar that we all are aware of and we use quite often, Psalms 22 and 3. It says, "God inhabits the praises of His people." But Isaiah 57 and 15 lets me know that He inhabits and dwells in our brokenness. Isaiah says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also who is of a contrite and humble spirit." The contrite is a crushed, literally to powder, spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The heart, the one that has been beat to pieces and broken to pieces and bruised. What kind of God would we have that only stayed with us in praise? The times of praise. The good times, yet would not be there in our brokenness. It is in brokenness and the broken places of our life that we find Him. We resist the hard, broken places. They're not pleasant. We don't want to go there. But it is there that we find Him. See, there are some people that never find the Lord because they never come to the end of themselves. It is not our ability, but it's our inability that attracts Him. It's not our efficiency or our self-sufficiency, but it is our need. Scripture says in Hebrew, He is touched by the feeling of our infirmity, our need. And it tells you and I, come boldly, with confidence unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Grace to help in time of need. Mercy is one of the most understood and misused words in the Christian realm today. Grace is misused, misunderstood. Grace is the power, the strength, and the working of God in your life to do what you can't do. Mercy is the active pity and love of God at work in your life. So we come boldly in confidence to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find help in the time of trouble. Help refers to the frapping of a ship, the undergirding of a ship when it's in a storm. And there are storms of life that our ship is going to suffer. If you can be moved, if you can be shaken, you will be moved and you will be shaken. Years ago, at a ladies' conference, and Sister Flanagan may have spoken at the conference, I spoke on a subject that was titled "Fight Like a Man." I had received in my early experience with the Lord a prophecy: "Quit yourself like a man." In other words, stand up, be strong, act like a man, fight like a man. And it was a lesson on spiritual warfare. It concluded with a voice with Jeremiah 31 and 15. A voice was heard in Ramah. Lamentation. Bitter weeping. The voice of Rachel weeping for her children and refused to be comforted because her children were not. Little did I know at the time, God was preparing me. Psalms 27:13, the scripture said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." 14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. Heavy travail fell upon me, and there was a weeping. So I say to the woman today, fight like a man. Fight for your family. There is nothing more important than family. Job, sitting in the ash heap of life, in the midst of unbelievable loss and suffering, said these words: "Oh, that I knew where I might find him." Psalms 139 and 7 says, Whither shall I go from thy spirit? And whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning, even there, thy hand shall lead me, and thine right hand shall hold me. The wings of the morning is the extreme part of the morning, the dawn, the breaking of day. And it was in the extreme part of the morning, in an ICU room in Fort Worth, Texas, as light began to creep above the roof, the darkened roof of the ICU room, that I knew. It was in the extreme part of the morning that a beautiful gift, our first grandchild was taken from us. I shared these words with a mother. The word mother holds much of the joy, beauty, and treasure of life's journey. From beginning to end, we hold, love, nurture, teach, and guide them. We kiss their hearts. And by some mysterious magic, it gets better. We walk with them and beside them, anticipating and encouraging that first step, that first word. And the simple word, mama, resonates as music from heaven in our ear. We experience and taste a taste of joy from heaven, but with that joy, we also experience the weight of earth's pain and sorrow. We laugh together and we cry together. So I have been places I'd rather not have been. I've walked in places I'd rather not have walked. But looking back and taking a panoramic view of my life, the places, the people that God has allowed to touch my life, I see beauty and good. Every experience has not been pleasant, but it's been beneficial to bring me to where I am today. It has been said by interior designers, there's too much clutter in Grandma's house. And that's true. I've talked to Elizabeth about it. I said, I need to clear out some things. But it's hard to do, because with everything in that house, there's a memory, a story is attached to it. Today I can say I'm not quite as tall, and in fact, I'm a little bent from injuring myself lifting things that were too heavy for me to lift. And so I realize today I need help lifting. The Lord is ready. He is there to help. I'm a little slower and not as strong. You can identify with that Sister Flanagan. But the scripture tells me the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the strong. I don't see as well, but I'm focused. I'm still focused on the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't hear as well. And in fact, the only small, still voice I hear is the voice of the Lord. But I understand it clearly. I understand it clearly. At 75, I have the spirit of Caleb. He said, I am 85 years old. That was 85. I am as strong now as I was then. I am able to battle. Give me that mountain. Give me my mountain. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season. Pastor mentioned it. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. To weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. And he says in verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in its time. Verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. See, our journey here is temporary, but whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, and nothing can be taken from it. So, to familiar faces and some that are not familiar, to friends, to every princess in this house, and my princess, I want to take this opportunity to say thank you for the memories and the beauty that you have touched my life with. Dad and I sing songs that the messages of the songs are intertwined into our life. Gary Paxton, who was of the flower child hippie era, wore red patent leather cowboy boots, the kind of person that would give an apostolic a stress attack, sang a song, he was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He might not have had everything together, but he had that together. He was there all the time. The crabs sing a song that is part of our life. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Judy will remember this song by Walt Mills that I used to sing. I was going down for the last time, and no one heard my cry. My voice was swiftly fading and drifting with the tide. When a hand from out of nowhere gently slipped in mine. And I thank God he found me just in time. The Bolands said, yeah. I've had and been through some hard times, but I've never walked alone. So I've lived long enough to miss some people. There are people that are no longer an active part of my life. And there are people who are not as much a part of my life. I miss a little girl and have memories of a little girl that in Boswell, Oklahoma, in a church service, she heard an embarrassing sound and jumped off of the pew into the floor, and she wasn't the one that made the sound. But she looked guilty. I miss a little girl who her daddy said, coming home from school, I saw Amy doing a handstand. So Amy had to wear culottes. It wasn't uncommon to see Amy in the middle of a wrestling match. With boys. Memories. So I thank you, all of you, every woman, every princess, thank you for the memories. There are many of you that the faces are not so familiar. But see, this service today will become part of my memory that adds to the beauty. And while I have opportunity to tell you, I want to say thank you. And I miss you. I miss you. I miss those who are no longer an active part of my life. I miss them.